Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, and reading verses 13 to 26. This parable, or miracle, I should say, healing miracle, precedes the miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ in feeding great crowds of people that were gathered and that had nothing to eat because they were following the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ move on, and he says to them, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And of course they think he's talking about bread. And so this this miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ serves as a lesson to them, and indeed a lesson to us as well. "And he left them, and getting into a boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, 'Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have no bread.' But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, 'Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?' They said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, 'How is it you do not understand?' Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hand on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, 'I see men like trees walking.' Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, 'Neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town.'" So far, reading of God's word. Dear people of God, we're continuing our reflections on the subject of spiritual depression, and come to consider a major factor that makes us vulnerable, opens us up to this condition. And that is the lack of clarity in our understanding of the Christian faith. When there is weakness in that area, then we are prone to, as the Bible puts it, not seeing clearly. And not seeing clearly in terms of God's word leads us to be defenseless. It leads us to worry. It leads us to being fearful of whatever the devil brings before us. And so we don't have an answer to it because we don't understand the scriptures enough to be able to apply them in the correct way. And so we begin to panic. We begin to be scared. And that leads to being intimidated, and that leads often to making compromises or remaining in that fearful condition for a prolonged period of time. And so clarity of understanding of the scriptures is essential. Just as we said last week, a clear understanding of the gospel is essential if we're not going to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine and have our salvation challenged, which the devil will always do. If he would say to the Lord Jesus Christ, "If you are the Son of God," do you think he's not going to say that to you? Of course he's going to say that. if he can get us destabilized on that point, then we are very vulnerable to spiritual depression. And as I said, to periods of not an enjoyable walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our passage relates to us a very unique miracle. It's the only miracle that we have in the Scriptures in which the Lord Jesus Christ does not heal the person fully the first time. It kind of shocks us too, right? When we usually read about the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, these kinds of things we expect from faith healers that say all kinds of things. That's where we would expect it. But not with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we hear that the Lord Jesus Christ heals this blind man, for us, of course, the next step and the next scene is all too obvious. The man sees. But this one catches us a little off guard, because he doesn't see. He only partially sees. And so then that gets us wondering, why would Jesus do that? Not only that because he had the ability, of course, to instantly heal this person so that he could see, never mind men walking like trees, but he could see every detail as the Lord Jesus Christ desired to do so. But clearly he didn't. Clearly he didn't. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ that raises the issue, which also reinforces this idea that Jesus had a purpose for doing it, a reason for doing it. He wanted to bring something out. He wanted his disciples to learn something, and indeed the people around as well. So he's the one that raised it. He's the one that said to the man that was blind, "Do you see clearly?" I mean, he even focused on the point. He didn't just say, "Do you see?" The guy might have said, "Well, yeah, I see." But he asked him more precisely, "Do you see clearly?" And he answers that question by saying, "Well, I see, but I see men like trees walking." So clearly, he wasn't that healed. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ proceeds to heal him fully. And he sees clearly. So we need to see a connection between this miracle and what was going on before this happened, as I alerted you already. And Jesus uses fitting words to his disciples, right? In verse 18, "Having eyes, do you not see?" He says to them. Because they didn't understand the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't understand what they had seen, which is the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ in feeding the 5 and the 4,000. And yet they showed that the penny didn't drop, as it were. Because when he says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," they think he's talking about bread. They think that they don't have enough bread, and he's criticizing them for not having enough bread. And in a sense, Jesus highlights that. Highlights their deficiency in this area. And so methodically he takes them through the facts and makes them answer those questions. Why do you reason this way? Do you not yet perceive? Don't you understand? Having eyes, do you not see? And ears, do you not hear? Don't you remember? I mean, something wrong with your mind. And it wasn't a little thing. I mean, you had all of those baskets, 12 baskets full when 5,000 were fed, and we didn't have enough. You said we didn't have enough. And yet 5,000 were fed and 12 baskets full were left over. And then again, just in case you didn't get that and it didn't sink in, then we had 4,000 and there were 7 baskets full that were gathered. So clearly you didn't understand. Because clearly you didn't apply that to your reasoning They were just facts out there, but it didn't have an impact on your life. And so you're worried because I asked you, you think I asked you about bread when I didn't ask about bread again. And so it put them into this experience with the Lord Jesus Christ in which they came to the wrong conclusions, worrisome conclusions, that they didn't understand. And so that's why I believe that this parable and the way that it unfolds has a purpose and a relationship, not only to people in general, unbelievers, but also to believers, to the disciples. So first of all, this miracle portrays blindness. It portrays blind living, what blind living looks like. First of all, in terms of just simple physical blindness. So here Jesus was. I was going to say by coincidence, but of course nothing happens with a coincidence. It was all ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so fittingly, this man is brought to the Lord Jesus Christ by his friends, blind. And they beg the Lord Jesus Christ to heal him. And so Jesus saw this man's condition as a wonderful way of portraying, exemplifying, the spiritual state of unbelievers, and to a limited extent, of his own disciples. And we might say, of Christians too. And so Jesus took this opportunity to address the needs of unbelievers as well as believers. So here we're presented with somebody who's blind, a condition that affects every aspect of our life on many levels. It debilitates us drastically. Our choice of jobs is limited, if not reduced. We cannot even walk without endangering ourselves. That's why Jesus warns the blind leading the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. We can't get on with life in this condition. We can't avoid dangers or threats since we can't see them. And we can easily be fooled when we are blind by those that want to take advantage of us. And it's a condition that is not easy, if at all, fixed. With all of our technology and medicine, there are certain things, of course, about eyes that the doctors are able to correct, and how thankful we are. But if we are just blind, no, there's a limit. So Jesus does not send the blind man and his friends away and tell them that what they were asking for is impossible. He didn't say, remember in the Old Testament, when Naaman went to the king of Israel, and he said, who do you think I am? I mean, you're coming to me with leprosy. You want me to heal you of leprosy? I mean, how insulting. The king must be trying, the king of Naaman, must be seeking an opportunity to go to war with us, because this is a ridiculous thing. But the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't send them away. He doesn't say that it's impossible. But rather, that he is able to do it. They no doubt heard that the Lord Jesus Christ had healed others, and therefore entertained the hope that this miraculous need could also be fulfilled with respect to the blind man. So there we have to stop right there, first of all. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to heal blindness. Not only that, but when we look at other things, he raised the dead. Might as well get to the end point. He raised the dead. So anything below that is child play. Right? He raised the dead. That simple fact ought to bring hope into your heart and into mine. It ought to bring hope into every unbeliever's heart, whatever condition they may be in. The Lord Jesus Christ raised the dead. We don't have to live in the misery that we find ourselves in. We don't have to continue in that lifestyle. God is able, through His Son, to radically transform us. So none of us have any reason to continue in such misery. No unbeliever does. And yet they do. Why? Because they don't believe that anything can be done about it. They live in misery. They know that they have misery in their hearts and in their life. I've asked them, people that I've been speaking to about the gospel. And finally I just say, just tell me, honestly, do you have peace in your heart? And they said, no. And then you think, well, why are you arguing? Then you're blue in the face, rejecting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no answer yourself, and you don't want an answer either. I mean, can you imagine going to the doctor and continuing to believe that there is no answer to your need, and he's saying there is, and you're saying, no, there's not. Oh, no, we can do it. No, you can't. You're lying. I don't believe it. Why would you argue? But people do. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, I came to bring life, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And yet the world continues to say, no, we're fine, thank you very much. I like it fine. Inside they know it's not. So the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, generally speaking, are graciously given and shown by God to confirm the gospel. Because that is million times more problematic than any physical condition we might have. That no one can do. That no one can do. Leopard can't change his spots. Ethiopian can't change the color of his skin. But God is able to change your heart. He is able to change your nature, to give you a new nature, to make old things go away and make everything new. That is possible with God. It is impossible with men. But what is impossible with men is possible with God. So this miracle is born to incite hope. Hope certainly to unbelievers, but hope in believers too. There's no reason for believers to be depressed. There's no reason for believers to be intimidated and downcast, as the Psalms speak about. Why are you downcast, O my soul? If I believe in a God that can raise the dead and change the heart, why am I so negative about it? Having eyes, don't you see? Having ears, don't you hear the word of God? Can't you understand? Can't you reason biblically? Of course God is able to correct our life. Of course He's able to lead us to enjoy that abundant life that He came to bring. You have to believe that. You have to understand that. You have to be able to reason so that when we are faced with those kinds of things, we don't just throw up our arms. We don't just get used to it. That is our norm, as it were. No, it cannot be. It cannot be. And so this physical element of this guy serves as an example of spiritual blindness. That's what it is, spiritual blindness. That we can't see, we can't reason, we can't fathom the things that the scriptures so clearly tell us. It doesn't sink in. Because there's a blockage there for some reason. And we have to challenge ourselves in that regard and go back to the Word of God and hear the echoes of the Lord Jesus Christ's words. Don't you see? Don't you remember? Can't you reason? That's what we need to do. We need to be able to do. So that we don't have to suffer in this way. We don't have to be cornered by the devil and have nowhere to turn and think that that's just the way it is. No, it's not. It's not. The Lord Jesus Christ came that you might have life. Not a half measure of life, but abundant life. Doesn't mean that we don't have problems, by the way, when we're living the abundant life. But we do have the wherewithal to stand up to those struggles. We do have the strength to go through those experiences with faith and hope intact. That's the way Christians ought to live. That's what God has prepared for us. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ provides for us. We shouldn't be like this man. Yes, Lord, we have life. But it's kind of up. We have life, and we have it abundantly. And we experience it abundantly. As I said, it doesn't mean without problems, facing problems. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying we face it with the strength that God gives. So the Lord Jesus Christ not only brings this subject up, but he also shows the halfway approach that we sometimes have. And so this blindness of this man is partially improved, which he openly confesses. As we mentioned earlier, Jesus had a message for unbelievers in this miracle, but clearly he had a message to believers as well. And so in light of this man's healing, the Lord Jesus Christ now raises and uncovers this aspect. And so he asks this man, do you see clearly? Emphasis being on clearly. And the man is honest. The man says that he sees men like walking trees. Well, anybody in their right mind is going to say, well, that's not adequate. You can't, physically, we can't just get away with seeing that vaguely. Men walking like trees. No, there's no detail in that. And so if that's the way we're going to live, there's no detail to our understanding of God's word. There's no detail of our understanding of God's glorious works. And so we're confused. And so they don't help us. Because we can't make discernments about those things. So people have to be honest. Which is what this man was. He was honest. He clearly and accurately described his condition and was open about it. The disciples didn't. The disciples, when they're asked about these things, they come to their own conclusions instead of saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we don't understand what you're saying. It doesn't make sense what you're saying. So rather than say that, they came to their own conclusions. And what did it do? It brought fear into their hearts. Oh, he's criticizing. Oh, he's not happy. Oh, we only got one bread. We were silly. We should have bought more bread. That's why he's unhappy. Wrong conclusion. Absolutely wrong conclusion. But there was nothing in them to say, Lord, we don't see clearly. We don't understand clearly what it is. Can you help us? No, they didn't say it. Many times they did that. Many times. The Apostle Peter, when the Lord Jesus Christ said that we're going to go to Jerusalem and he was going to be arrested and crucified, didn't say, Lord, I don't understand what you're saying. That doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't register in my mind. I'm confused about that. I don't see clearly. But he didn't say that, did he? He thought he understood it perfectly. To such a point that he was willing to challenge the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a sense, tell him off. Never going to happen to you. You're not following that line. That doesn't make sense at all. So we have to be careful then that we are honest with God in our prayers. That we accurately describe our condition, our ailment. That we say, Lord, I don't understand how I'm supposed to be. I don't understand how am I supposed to react to this. Rather than paving our own way. and setting people aside, even the church. Well, the church said this, but that doesn't make sense to me. I think I'm going to go this way. Rather than say, I don't understand, help me understand, they just make their own decisions and come to their own conclusions and get themselves into difficulties that only suppress the joy. They only hide the glories of God's grace in the scriptures that it is to be applicable to their life. So they miss out on those things. And they needlessly go through these experiences. Life is tough enough facing the devil and all the things that he brings to us and the sufferings that we undergo. Rather than adding to all of that by our own lack of understanding, our own lack of appreciation for what God is able to do and does do in our life, day by day. So, let us learn that lesson. If we find ourselves in that situation, then ask. And the church is here, leaders are here, other Christians are here, for us to ask so that we might be able to understand, so that we might be able to make the connections from what God's Word says, so that we can rest in it, that we know that He's in charge, we know that He's in full control of everything about our life. So why is it that people find, or how is it that we can detect this condition? Well, certainly we may say that these people see something, because this guy can see trees, men walking like trees. So what is it that we can see that people can see? Well, some can see that there is dissatisfaction in their life. They're honest enough to say, yeah, my life isn't all that it should be. I'm not enjoying life. All I face is problems. So they see that their outlook has to change. They see that something has to change. But it's not changed. It's not changed. They were totally blind, but now they see something. But they don't see clearly. They see the self-centered life as useless. But nothing is done about it. Though not Christians, they do see certain, unbelievers do see certain things. But half-hearted, it is not able and adequate to bring what they need. Many go even further and see that the Christian life is a better alternative. They're not clearly enough to believe. Not clearly enough to commit their whole lives to it. They may even see the Sermon on the Mount is good teaching. Or we might even go further to the Lord Jesus Christ. They may see the Lord Jesus Christ as a good teacher, good morals. They don't believe. They don't follow. They don't have the power to experience that kind of life themselves. Well, what is it that they don't see? Well, they don't see Jesus as the Savior. They don't see Jesus as the answer to all of their needs. They don't see that He died for their sins, that He paid for their sins. Their hearts are not moved or affected. They find no real joy in Christianity. They appreciate some things in Christianity, but there's not a full commitment. There's no real relationship with the Lord. Such people have a divided will. They do not understand that Christ is their Lord and Master. They think that they can have things that they like and add to the things that they find attractive in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's half measures. And really, there's no measure at all in that case. And as I say, in this class, we can fit believers too. They understand the gospel. Otherwise, we wouldn't say they're believers. But they don't understand the fullness of God's blessings for us. They don't understand His wisdom. They don't understand His law. They don't understand His holiness. And so they have a short-sightedness as far as that is concerned. And because they don't understand those things, they are vulnerable when challenges come to running scared. And as I say, it plunges them into bouts of depression. And in God's grace and mercy, they are brought out. They're never lost, as we keep saying. No one is ever lost that is truly a Christian. But they go through unnecessary suffering and struggles. And so what we have here in this passage is hope. Glorious hope. Why? Because the man is perfectly healed. Perfectly healed. So he asks, do you see clearly? He says, no. And so the Lord Jesus Christ heals him further. And then he asks, and he says that he sees. So it's not a hope that we have, it's a certainty. Christ can open our eyes. He can lead us to see his wonderful truth. And furthermore, to experience and apply that truth to our life day by day. The scriptures give us examples of that in terms of God's people. So it is a possibility. It's not pie in the sky that I'm speaking this evening. Absolutely not. So there's an application to that, first of all, in terms of our witnessing to people. Make sure that they see clearly. Don't leave them in the dark. Don't present to them God, the gospel, and nothing else. Give to them the whole counsel of God. Help them to understand. I'm not saying it happens in one evening to understand. But I'm saying continue to help them so that they may learn and come to appreciate God in all of his fullness, so that they walk with him in the strength that he provides, and they live under his wings, and they have the strength wherewith to face anything that the devil sends them. That's what we have to prepare people for. We can't bring half, in a sense, a half healing and let people go. And they go away seeing men walking like trees. You're doing them a disservice. And sometimes that can happen over the pulpit too. And so we have to be careful as people to preach the whole counsel of God. I mean, when Paul established churches, many of them, as we say, were thrown off into the deep end immediately. They didn't have time to get their feet. They didn't have time to get everything sorted out. They were thrown in at the deep end. And yet they survived. Why? Because he preached to them the whole gospel. And though the devil immediately came to attack them, he was not able to destroy the church of the Lord. So we have to do that. And our church is responsibility to do that with people that come into our church, as well as, of course, of people in the church. They need to be growing. They need to be drawing closer and closer to God and having a more and more clear vision of him and his glory. And enjoying in that Christian. That's the thing. We desire and pray that each and every member of this church, as time goes on, can say, I see. And I can apply these wonderful truths to the problems that I face. Doesn't mean that we have to become islands, self-sufficient, and don't need anyone else. No, we'll always need one another. We always need the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are people to stand firm. And so each of us needs to aspire to that. Each of us needs to be honest with God. Each of us needs to say to God, God, I see, I understand, but there are some areas I don't get, I don't understand. Help me. And the avenues of grace are provided for us in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says in Ephesians, that we might all grow up into the full stature of Christ, that we may not be like children tossed about by every wind of doctrine, and jump at every time we hear a noise, somebody stepping on a leaf, we're scared. Every time difficulties come into our life, we get scared. Oh, I'm going to lose my job. Oh, no, what's going to happen? And we spin all kinds of scenarios. Or I get some sort of problem with our body. And all of a sudden, we start spinning scenarios. Oh, this is it. I'm not going to live much longer. And we start panicking about everything. The cure to that is to see God. Understand His will. And understand it clearly so that we can apply it, so we can fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, and follow the lives of people that are described in Hebrews 11, that were able to withstand all the struggles of life, that for most people it would plunge into fear and trepidation and depression, but they still could. People of God, the Lord Jesus Christ can heal us in this earth to the point that we can see clearly and we can experience that abundance. Don't let the devil be pressured. Always look to Him and look to the avenues that He has provided that we might be mature in our faith and serve Him day by day. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have provided all that we need for life and godliness. And all your promises in your word are always yes and amen. And our Father in heaven, you have shown yourself through the Lord Jesus Christ and through your creation to be the sovereign God that holds everyone in His hands and us too. And it is under your wings that we have come to shelter because you've opened our eyes to see you for who you are. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to be consistent with our confession and to listen and to reflect upon and to meditate on your word so that we can rightly divide and apply your word to the struggles that we face. So that we too can say, along with the psalmist, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with us, your rod and your staff. They comfort us, they guide us, they protect us. And so, Father, we pray that you would be with each and every one of your people tonight. And as we go forth into this week, that you would guide us into that abundant life so that we can enjoy you and walk with you and be examples to those around us of that abundant life that is only possible through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, hear our prayers and receive our faith, for we bring these in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand and respond as we sing from